Let us pray. Father, thank you that we have worshiped you and praise and singing. But now, Lord, we're going to look deep into your word once again as we see what will happen as you pour out your wrath upon the world. And Father, let us not despair at hearing these things, because you have let us know beforehand what is going to happen. And these are things that are happening to those who reject you and reject the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. But for those of us that know you, we know, Father, that you love us and you care us and you save us from all these things. And in his most precious name, we pray all of this as the Spirit speaks through your word. And as I ask not for me not to be involved in it, but simply the Spirit of God revealing the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, we're going to be in Revelation chapters 15 and 16. 15 is a relatively short chapter, so that's why we're going to include it. But as we continue through Revelation, we're going to come upon the seven last plagues, the seven last judgments. Some Bibles say vials, some say bowls and vials, some say simply bowls. But these are the seven last things that God is going to pour upon the earth. He's going to unleash them upon the vileness that remains on this earth. Remember already that millions upon millions have been killed. But I want us to understand something. I've said this once or twice. The book of Revelation tells us the things that are to happen, but it is not linear in the way we think, beginning and end. A lot of these things are happening at the same time. A lot of these things are things that have already happened, but God's re-revealing them through John to emphasize their importance. So it's not A, B, C, D. It's kind of like a mixture of everything all going on within that seven-year time that we call the tribulation, the end times. And so I want to review that God sends judgment to the earth in three different sets. Imagine that, three, God working in three, the Trinity, that kind of thing. That's important. The first were the seal judgments. Remember, the Lamb was the only one found worthy to open the scroll, and it had the seven seals. So when each seal was undone, a judgment came forth. And then, as we see in the seventh seal, that there were seven more judgments. These were called the trumpet judgments because seven angels were given seven trumpets and told to blow. And each trumpet opened something new. And then we come to the vials. But I want to quickly go over. Remember the seals. The first seal was the rider on the white horse with the crown and the bow with no arrows. I believe that's a sign of the Antichrist coming to power. Seal two was the rider on the red horse with the great sword, and he was given power to make war, and millions upon millions of people were killed in that war. And then because of that war, next came the rider on the black horse, because during that destruction, crops and everything are destroyed, and therefore you have famine. And so this rider upon the black horse had a set of scales which to weigh out what was left. And then after all that, the rider on the pale horse, which was seal number four, and that rider was death. And Hades, hell, the grave, followed after him. And then number five, seal five, the souls that were under the altar that cried out to God, Lord, when is it going to be enough? Lord, when are you going to take vengeance upon those who have destroyed your people and hurt your people? And God told them, wait a little while longer. And then he gave them white robes, clean, the white robes of purity that are given to believers. And then in seal six, the earthquake comes. And remember, there's a lot of earthquakes in Revelation. But I got to wondering about that. Why? Because, you know, the ground is the only thing we have come to symbolize being firm as a foundation, to be on the solid ground. And when the very ground you're standing on starts shaking, you lose a little doubt in the permanence of things. And all this worldly mess that people think are going to last forever. No, it's not. And so not only does the earthquake, but the sun turns black and the moon turns blood red and stars fall. And then we come to the seventh seal, silence in heaven. And during that time, angels were given the seven trumpets. And then the trumpets sound. I may be skipping a few things here and there, but I'm doing it for brevity. The first trumpet sounds, and all the trees and the green plants are burnt up. The second trumpet sounds, and the very seas, one-third of the seas, and that's important because as we're going to see today, all the sea later on. But for right now, one-third of the sea turns to blood, and all the animals die within it. The third trumpet sounds, and fresh water is made bitter by something called wormwood. Brothers and sisters, even people who drink this bitter water will die. The fourth trumpet sounds, and the sun, the moon, and the stars are smitten. They were darkened earlier, but now they're smitten. And the fifth trumpet sounds, and a falling star comes down into heaven, and he was given the keys to the abyss, and he unloads, or he opens up the abyss, and smoke comes out, and all these monstrous locusts and stuff come out. There were four angels, demonic angels, I believe, that were released at this time. And they have a king over them. And his name in Greek is Apollyon. And in Hebrew, it's Abaddon. And this means destroyer. And he's the king over these locusts. And they inflict mankind. And then the sixth trumpet sounds. And that's when the demonic angels are released from the trumpet Euphrates. I just said the fifth trumpet, but that should be the sixth trumpet. And then there's an interlude between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. And the angel with the little book comes, and John has to eat the scroll, and the two witnesses their ministry for 3.5 years there in Jerusalem. And anybody that tries to harm him, they shoot fire out, and they have the ability to control the weather and all these things. And after 3.5 years, the Antichrist overcomes him, and he kills him, and they lay in the streets of Jerusalem, and there's partying all over the world. And people even give gifts to one another, celebrating the fact that these people who had only spoke the truth of God were killed. Aha! But you see, with God, death is just temporary. Because after 3 days, they stand up. God says, get up! And they get up, and they ascend unto heaven. And people are mightily scared. And then there's another great earthquake. And then we have the seventh trumpet, when the temple in heaven is opened. And then we have the woman who gives birth to the male child who will rule the world with a rod and iron. We see the dragon who tries to destroy both the woman and the child. Now that's important. Because as I said, I believe that woman represents the nation of Israel. And the devil tried to destroy it through many times in the old time, even within the 20th century. But the male child is caught up into heaven. And since the dragon cannot destroy the woman, he comes after her offspring. Not only the male child, but all those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All those throughout the earth who sticks to the truth of the gospel. Or sticks to the truth that there is a God. Because don't forget, before this we had the 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel sealed. They're not to be hurt. And they're helped to be witnesses across the whole world. We'll see them again in just a second. And then we come across the dragon trying to destroy, and of course the woman goes into hiding for 3.5 years, and the earth opens up and swallows the flood of the water that the dragon tried to get the woman with. And then he returns to the earth and fights. And then we see the dragon stand on the shore of the sea, and we see this great beast with 10 horns and 7 crowns and 7 heads and all that stuff comes up out of the sea, which I believe is the midst of the people of the earth. Folks, we know that those who choose not to believe will not believe. In fact, just this week, I've seen someone who, even though they claim spirituality, they reject the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a very understand reason why, because if you accept the gospel, you confess that you're a sinner and that you've messed up. And man's pride will not allow him on his own to understand that he stands guilty before God Almighty because of what he or she has done. And it is only through the gospel of Jesus Christ that they come to recognize that they need a Savior. And God graciously provides the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world for the sins of all mankind. And then we see the false prophet, the second beast, who has the head of a lamb, 2 horns, but speaks with the mouth of the dragon, and he gives power and authority to the first beast so that they will make an image, they will make an idol of the first beast, the Antichrist. And remember, the Antichrist had one of his heads killed, wounded, destroyed as immortal, but the false prophet raises it back to life. So it's an imitation of the resurrection. And people are going to follow that. And they're going to set up this image, and this false prophet is going to give it life to where it breathes and talks, and people are going to follow the image, and then they're going to take the mark. And as we introduced last week, this is the unholy Trinity, whereas we serve and worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God, but in three persons as we sing. This is going to be the ungodly Trinity, with Satan himself imitating God the Father, the beast imitating Christ the Son, and the false prophet imitating the Holy Spirit. And he's going to call down fire from heaven like Elijah, and he's going to do all kind of false. He's even going to pretend to raise the dead, that wound of that dragon, of that beast that was wounded and it appeared. That's going to be a fake resurrection. And people are going to fall down and worship him, and then he's going to require them to take a mark. Now, I believe that before this, it was simply voluntary, but after this, it's going to be required. And you are going to know that if you accept that mark, you are doomed, period. End of discussion. Now, what that mark is, some people say it's a literal number, and all I know is it's going to be in your forehead and your hand, but it could be a number, could be a chip, could be a barcode, I don't know. But it will be a mark that you know is to serve that false god. And then we see the Lamb with the 144,000 stand on Mount Zion. And we're going to see the angel that preaches the everlasting gospel, and the one like unto the Son of Man with the other angels reap the harvest of the earth and throw them into God's wrathful winepress. Scary things, brothers and sisters, but that's all that's come up. Of course, I didn't go over the first three chapters talking to the church as Jesus, but we need to recap, because if we start halfway through, some may not understand what's happened up to this point. Or they may have forgot a detail. All of this works together. And like I said, it's not linear, but it's all together. The reason I say that is John is allowed to see outside of time as God sees outside of time. I really believe that. If he's seeing into the future, he's seeing outside of time. And God, since he created time, stands out time side, and he sees everything at once. And if John is allowed to see the future, he knows it's the future, but yet to him in that moment, it's right then. So it's not linear, but it is happening. Now that's when we come to Revelation 15 and 16. And like I said, 15 is a very short chapter, only 8 verses, but we'll get into that now. And I've titled this The 7 Last Plagues. Revelation chapter 15, starting at verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. That's important, because one of the angels is going to say something little. These are the 7 final judgments upon the wicked earth that God gives out. Verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. That's where we get the angels with the harps, okay? But these aren't angels. Don't forget that. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now, that's a two-edged sword. Because we know that all, or should I say every, knee shall bow in heaven and earth and proclaim that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some, which I include us as Christians, as believers, will do so thankfully before God Almighty, but others will be forced because they have died in their sin and transgressions. But God will receive glory regardless. So John sees these mighty angels, and each one carries their last judgment. And they're described as plagues that are going to befall humanity. And this great area, the sea of glass, which John had already seen before all the judgment sailed. Remember, he saw the throne room of God. There was this great sea of glass. And we talked about the sea might be a large area like a sea, like we see an ocean, although it wouldn't be water like we consider it. Or it might be like the bronze sea before the temple, a place where judgment has been executed and washed. The offering is washed. The hands of the priest are washed. It might be that. But whatever it is, all these souls who have overcome the beast and the mark and the number and all those things, they are given the harps of God. And what do? They break out in a Singspiration. How many remember that name? Remember Singspirations? It would be good for us to have that once again, where we just gather together, maybe hear a short word of God, but then we just sing praises. The old songs, some new songs, just praising God through music, through worship before the throne. Because we're going to do it then. And if you ain't going to like it then, you ain't going to like it now. But if you like it now, you're going to love it then. It's going to be an amazing thing. But those are there. It's the sea of glass mingled with fire. But I believe this fire is a good fire. It's the fire of God's judgment, but it's the judgment through Christ. And these believers have overcome through that. And they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. That makes sense. They have victory. And when you are victorious, you sing a song. How many of y'all have been in a high school football game and you win the game and everybody starts singing the fight song after the game, or at a college? You know how many times, now I'm not a fan of University of Tennessee. Okay, I'm not. I'm not a volunteer. But I love to hear him sing Rocky Top. Maybe that's the hillbilly in me, but I love to hear him sing it. Okay? I love to hear even UM when they start singing their fight song. Ain't too crazy about Rock Chalk, but we'll leave that for when we preach about hell, okay? Sorry about that. It was there, low-hanging fruit, had to take it. But anyway, we sing because we have victory. And whether these martyrs or the 144,000 or both together, they sing to and serve the living God and the Lamb because they have overcome through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 5 in chapter 15. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. These are special angels, seven. And they have a breastplate, a golden breastplate, which represents judgment. Because those that judged were garbed as such in those times. And then it says, verse 7, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials or bowls full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. God opens it, the angels come out, one of the beasts around the throne give them the vials or the bowls, and God shuts that temple. No man can come into that temple until the wrath of God is completed. Right now, the temple stands open because our high priest makes intercession for us day and night. Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God the Father, and He prays for us and He intercedes for us day and night until God tells Him it's time. But when these angels show up, no man can enter the temple. One of the beasts gives the angel these bowls which are full of God's wrath. You know, the Bible talks about the cup of God's wrath. A bowl or a vial is just a larger cup. It holds more. And while we understand the individuality of those that are judged because of sin and wickedness, this is going to be poured, just like the seals and the trumpets, this is going to be poured upon the whole world, those that are left. We've already seen millions upon millions, maybe even billions of people that have died through the judgments. Now here they come. Chapter 16, starting at verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image, which is going to be almost everyone left. And it says a noisome and grievous sore. Noisome in this context just means it gives you no peace. It's like a buzzing or a humming that you hear in the background. It never goes away, and it just gets stronger and stronger. And then grievous means intense pain that they will have. And brothers, as I'm telling you this, sisters, as I'm telling you this, remember, all of this is because they wanted it. They rejected God's grace and mercy. So this is what they've asked for. Now they didn't say, oh, I want a sore. No, but they said, I'll take that mark. They made that choice. Amen, brother. And here it is. Bowl one is poured out on all who worship the beast and carry his mark. It is called a noisome sore. And I remember the sores. I remember this little disease way before COVID called the bubonic plague or the Black Death. Killed half, a third to half of Europe and also Asia and all other places where it went. You see, part of that disease are these giant boils and sores that grow in your lymph nodes in your armpits. They're called buboes, but that's a cute name for a very ugly thing. There's no cure for it. Once you have that, you begin to vomit blood and you die within 12 to 24 hours. They tried middle-aged doctors. Y'all have seen the pictures of the guy with the long noses and the goggles. These were death masks. What they did is that long nose, they stuck full of herbs and flowers to keep the smell of death from making them unable to do their job. That's what that big old hook nose was for. And they tried everything. They tried all kind of poultices and they tried all kind of witchcraft and they tried everything. They even, one middle-aged doctor, and this may gross some of you out, but I'm trying to give you an example, said that you had to take a young puppy, split it in half, and put its blood upon your forehead. Then you will be cured. You know the only cure that worked? If they cut open the boil and they inserted a red hot poker. If you survived that, that killed the infection in that sore, and you would recover 60% of the time. Not 100%, but it was a lot better than the only 10% that people who didn't have any treatment. That's the kind of sore I'm imagining. That's the kind of agony that those people will have because they took the mark. Terrible pain. Terrible bothersomeness. No relief. No comfort. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. You see that trumpet that we heard? One third of the sea. This is all the sea. Every living thing in it died. Man could no longer, as Bubba Gump would say, eat the fruit of the sea. You can't eat the shrimp or the fish or anything. It's all dead. It's blood because of all the living organisms. It's blood. All die. Nothing comes out. Nothing is redeemed. Death all around. Nasty, stench-inducing, bloated death is what they will deal with. Let's go to verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. You can't eat anything out of the sea. You can't change the seawater into fresh water. And now all the fresh water is gone. And that's important because something is going to happen where people are going to want water, but they're not going to receive it. Goes on in verse 5, and I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. These angels are telling God, God, You're right in what You're doing. And if we will look back in history, and even now, those that persecute the Church of Jesus Christ deserve to partake of the blood that they are spilling. You know, we have to be careful. We don't understand sometimes that blood, the representative imagery that blood gives. I know that Some of you may be involved with Masonic or Shriners and things like that. And I want to say this. You know the Shriners have the red fez that they wear. And it has an Arabic symbol on it, sword and all that. Folks, many of them do not know what that represents. Around the year 800 in Morocco, there was a town called Fez, still exists, and it was a Christian town. And the Muslim armies came into that town and killed every living man, woman, and child, dumped their bodies into the well until the blood ran over the top. The Islamic soldiers would come and they would dip their hats, their fezes, into that blood, and they wore it as a badge of honor because they killed the infidels. We got to be careful with the imagery that we carry. We may not know what it means. Find out. Because it is a sign of judgment. Just like blood here is a sign of judgment. Man will not be able to cool off at the beach. Man will not be able to go take a drink in the swimming pools of his own homes because all of the water is going to be turned to blood. And it is a righteous judgment that falls upon the earth. Let's go to verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Every time I hear somebody preaching global warming, I go to this verse, because they're half right. The sun is going to scorch the earth and the men upon the earth, but it's not because of too many Volkswagens driving down the road. It's going to be because man has sinned and that angel is going to release the power of the sun. That's why all the water was taken away, because they have nowhere to relieve their agony. And instead of praising God, they're going to blaspheme God. It's funny how people who say they don't believe in God will be the first to blame God when something bad happens. Men were scorched with great heat. This new plague, they blaspheme and they do not repent. They haven't repented since all these things began. Remember when they crawled into the caves and said, "Spare us, save us from the wrath of God and the wrath of the Lamb"? And they still haven't repented. After all that's going on. And it says, and they repented not to give him glory. They've not repented yet. They won't repeat then. Many do not repent now when they are given the chance. Brothers and sisters, if God puts it through the Holy Spirit in your heart to repent of something you know about, do it immediately. You're not going to lose your salvation if you're already a Christian. In fact, it is the Holy Spirit which calls you to repentance. That's the one thing that people can't stand. Oh, as long as I can get into heaven, as long as, you know, God gives me all these blessings, that's well, fine, and good. But you start preaching Jesus and repentance, and what do? They hide, or they get mad, and they fight. They may do it verbally, they may do it physically, but they're going to fight. Why? Because they refuse to repent of their sin and wickedness before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying, you know, we're believers and something happens and we sin. We don't want to. That's the key. We may do it, but we don't want to do it. We're not driven to do it. But without God, without the Holy Spirit, we're driven to be exactly what we are, fleshly creatures who are selfish. And we only look to ourselves. But when you are a child of God, you're no longer selfish. You're self-scrutinizing. You're self-judging. You realize what you have done is an affront to God, and He gives you the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy now. He will not then, because judgment has fallen. That's why the temple of God is shut up. It's too late, folks. It's too late. Moving on, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Remember, they've been having the sores, and they've been being scorched by the sun, and it says they're gnawing their tongues for pain. Have you ever hurt so bad you gritted your teeth? That's a powerful pain, ain't it? When the pain is so intense It's like, even though it may be one spot, your whole body is hurting and screaming in agony. And that's when you clench your teeth and you know, Lord, what is happening? And that kind of thing. That's the kind of pain that they're going to be going through, if not a thousand times worse. Verse 11, and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and repented not of their deeds. You see, they know why they're suffering. But even knowing why, they refuse to give Him glory and they repent not. They are going to die angry and jealous and bitter at God, who has given them every opportunity to repent and to be forgiven, and they refuse. Sad. It's funny how, you know, the seat of the kingdom, of the beast kingdom, whether it be Rome or Jerusalem or wherever it may be, let's just say where the seat of government is, okay? Only that and its precincts are going to be darkened. Everything else, it's like an eclipse is going to park, and everywhere under it is going to be complete darkness. And in that darkness, they're going to be gnawing their tongues, pain. Folks, one of the worst things I ever saw as a paramedic was I took a patient to Elvis Presley Memorial Burn Center in Memphis, Tennessee. And you know it's Elvis Presley because when you walk in the emergency room door, there's a giant black velvet picture of the king right there on the wall. But I took a person to the burn unit. A person that had made a very huge sacrifice. He jumped into a burning building, a burning old shotgun house. How many of y'all know what a shotgun house is? Burning little shotgun house. Pulled two kids out the window. Four other kids and the two grandparents died in the fire. But he went in there and he got two out. And he was burned all over his face and all over his hands. But he got those kids out. And believe it or not, the kids didn't have a burn on them. But we were moving on up to Memphis. And while we were there, they were given a treatment to a different patient. And they were scrubbing the burns. When the burn, the scar tissue starts to grow back and it starts to hide, they literally have to take a scrub brush and they scrub the wound so the new nerve endings can grow. One of the most intense pains, even hurts worse than the physical burns to start with. And that person literally was biting down on a piece of leather like you see in the old westerns. You know, bite on a bullet, give him a sip of whiskey or whatever. They had him loaded with morphine and Demerol and he still was screaming in pain. That's what these people are going to be doing. In total darkness. Because they have not the light that God provides. They know they should repent. And what's worse yet, and I've said this over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it, this never had to happen to them. It does not have to happen. But their own pride and their own idiocy says, I know more than God knows. I am the master of my own fate. Well, then, if that's the case, God is going to give you exactly what you desire, to be outside of His mercy and forgiveness and grace. I hate that. I really do. I fear for these brothers and sisters. And the reason I call them that, they're brothers and sisters in the flesh, humans. But they're not brothers and sisters in Christ. But I pray every day that God will call them to repentance so they don't have to face this stuff. Oh, they may die, but death compared to this is a blessing. Let's move on. Verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Notice it didn't come out of the Euphrates. That was the four angels earlier. This was out of the mouth of the dragon. These are demonic, straight from Satan himself, spirits that look like frogs. Verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. So, the angel poured out and the Euphrates dried up. Folks, we can turn on the news today and we see where the river Euphrates is drying up. Naturally. Of course, I don't believe in natural. I believe it's supernatural. But there, these three frogs that come forth from Satan himself to do miracles. Of course, we understand that's false miracles. They're going to be doing all kind of miracles. You know, God may be punishing you. You may have sores and burns, but we're going to do that. And people are going to be stupid enough to follow them. Just like they followed the false prophet and the Antichrist earlier. It's all the same team. But the reason they're doing these new miracles is going to start gathering them together in groups. The kings of the east. Now, Father, brothers and sisters, we can debate who these are. But obviously, they're anti-God. All right? We read earlier about 200 million people in the army that is going to be unleashed by the locust and the four angels and all that stuff earlier. But I got to thinking, if it comes from the east, what is east of the Euphrates River? India, Persia / Iran, Afghanistan, Nepal, China, and the southern parts of Russia like Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, all this. Do they believe in God? Our God, the real God, the only God. No, they do not. China's, as a government, is atheistic. And the rest follow false gods. It would be nothing for them to form a coalition and to go after that city that is a cup of trembling for the whole world, Jerusalem. It is not impossible to imagine those armies coming and going up that, because when the Euphrates dries up, that makes a nice little highway to go up and over. They don't have to go through the deserts. They can go up and over through Iraq and through Syria and through Jordan and come over through the top. And they will gather themselves at a specific place because people will believe those frog like demons. And the whole world has gone after the beast at this time. Brothers and sisters, don't let that disturb you. We are not citizens of this world. Now, I'm a loyal citizen to the United States, and I will do what is right, unless and until what I am asked to do as a citizen violates the law of God. And then my citizenship is really proven that it is in heaven. Do you know what the Greek word citizenship is? Politeuma. Politeuma. Politics. My politics is centered in heaven. And you know, that's the only true place there is. So if that's the place we have it centered, hallelujah. Now, while we're here, we're to be good citizens and we're to obey the laws as long as they don't go against the laws of God. You got to drive 55 miles an hour, folks. You can't murder people. You can't steal things. You can't do all that. That violates not only the law of man, but the law of God. But when the law tells me you are not allowed to worship God anymore through Jesus Christ, if you worship God and call Him Allah or call Him Krishna or call Him some other crazy name, you can, but not through Jesus. No, 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 no. I will violate that law every day of the week. Brothers and sisters, that law is coming. Soon, don't know how long, could be a couple decades, but it might not. They're going to take away the tax-exempt statuses of the churches, and we're going to have to pay property tax. But there's a lot of churches that can't do that. And so they know along. But you see, all that's kind of weird, because that's not, the building is not really the church. The people are the church. But then they're going to break up unlawful assemblies and things like that. Remember, back during the early days of COVID, especially in a state like Virginia, churches that met, the police came in and broke them up. Up in Canada, we had preachers being seized and thrown into prison because they dared to have church against the law of the government. It can happen, and it will happen. Just don't know when. But you see, don't let that disturb you. Because what's awaiting for folks that fall into that camp is the true justice of God Almighty. So brothers and sisters, according to Paul in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. And we're going to need that. You can see the rest of the world are going to be gathering together. Verse 15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." I'm going to read 16 and 17. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." You remember when Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished"? The Greek word there is tetelestai. Completely different Greek word. It is done. It is finished. It's over. Now, the vial hasn't hit the earth yet. We're going to get that in a second. But you see, he gathers all these armies that are against God at that place. Now, where is that place? If we understand, it is a place just at the foot of Mount Carmel called Megiddo. Napoleon Bonaparte, whatever you think of him, megalomaniac, all that stuff, of course he is kind of the what all us short people want to be when we grow up, take over the whole world and all that stuff. I didn't get one snicker out of that. And I'm looking at Jeff. I don't know why you remind me of Napoleon for some reason. It's true, amen. But when he invaded Egypt and he beat the British in the Battle of Egypt, some of y'all may have seen that recent movie, Napoleon, but he had to come back up through Palestine and stuff. And he parked there at the foot of Megiddo, and he overlooked the valley. Who remembers the name of the valley? I believe it was the Valley of Jezreel. And he said, "This is the greatest place to have a battle I've ever seen. Tall walls on each side with plateaus above it in a great big flat valley where the army that's there can be overwhelmed by armies coming. But we're going to not need armies coming from the hills. You see, I'll put my eye into the hills from whence my help comes. We have a God in those hills, and we have a God everywhere that's going to take care of this army that is gathered at what the Hebrew calls Armageddon." That voice means it is done. It has happened. In other words, this is it. It's over now. But not quite yet. But what happens when that bowl hits the earth? Verse 18. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great." Folks, we've heard of earthquake after earthquake after earthquake. And like we said, when the whole earth is shaking, something's going on. It's God's judgment. He uses earthquakes a lot to judge. Verse 19, "And the great city was divided into three parts." I believe that is Jerusalem. "And the cities of the nations fell," all these nations fell. "And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." You see, Babylon, the physical city, whatever that represents, was fallen. We saw that in an earlier verse. But now says the memory of it has come up before God. And now the people who ran Babylon, the systems that were engaged in Babylon, all the evil that this spiritual Babylon caused, are going to drink the cup of the wrath of God Almighty. It says the fierce wrath. And we've already seen the clusters of grapes thrown into the wine press and the blood up to the bridle of horses. We've already seen all that. But now, that earthquake was so great that every island fled away and the mountains were not found. That means they dropped. They fell apart. The greatest earthquake ever known by man will happen at this point. Jerusalem is already split once. Now it's going to split again into three parts. And all the other cities of the world will fall down. And God will remember spiritual Babylon and give them what they deserve. And what is it they deserve? Verse 21. "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great." These giant ice balls, the size of... Well, a talent is 40, 50 pounds maybe. Maybe more. Can you imagine a hailstone wearing that? And they're going to be, and it's going to be so all over the world. It's going to be smashing and destroying. Which reminds me, do you remember in Daniel when the statue was crushed with the mountain that was made without hands, and it fell upon the feet of the clay mixed with the iron, and it crushed it, and it became dust. That reminds me, these hailstones from God are going to fall and crush and destroy everything that didn't fall down in the earthquake. What all these great and mighty works that man has. I know there's a statue in India that's the tallest statue in the world. And it's of some politician, some Indian politician. It's not Mahatma Gandhi, it's somebody else. But anyway, this thing is like 15, 16 stories tall, made out of bronze. That stuff is going to be laid flat. Every great building that has ever been built, laid flat. The seas are turned to blood. Man cannot escape. Wherever he goes, there's death and judgment waiting. And it's falling and falling and falling, and they're still blaspheming God. How wicked man is. Not will become. We're already that wicked. We already stand accused by the devil, the accuser, before God of all kinds of wickedness, which we are guilty as a race of. The human race is guilty of things that deserve this type of punishment. But thanks be to God Almighty that through His mercy and through His grace, those that turn to Him, those that repent and believe the everlasting gospel which the angel was flying through heaven, proclaiming, even in these times, we will be saved for the glory of God. We should be saved now because we're thankful that God has done this for us. Now, the worst we have is being made fun of, losing a job, losing family members, even this life that we have here on earth. But what God has given us lasts forever. Eternal life, eternal salvation with Him forever and ever. We will be witnessing these things and shaking our heads. Charles Spurgeon once had a dream, and some of you have heard this before, but it's true. And he dreamed that he was in heaven at the sheep and the goats judgment, where Christ was separating the sheep from the goats. And he saw his mother on the side of the sheep, and he suddenly realized that he was on the side of the goats. And he went to his mother and said, "Mother, please pray for me, please help me." And she said, "Son, when you were on earth, you knew the truth, and you chose not to believe." And he said at that point the dream ended because he knew in his dream he had been condemned. If we do not believe the gospel now and we die in that state, you will not be pitied. You will not be felt sorry for. You are going to face the wrath of God Almighty. Why? What in this world is more important to you than life? Life is more important. And it is the life that God gives us through Christ the Lord that we need to believe in. The Bible tells us that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. What is stopping people? Pride. Greed. Lust. And something that's very akin to pride. I know what's right, you don't. Leave me alone. Folks, when God gives you the opportunity, however that is, whether by being in a group that praises Him and other people see that, by telling your story to someone who's not a believer, to being kind and forgiving and merciful to someone who does not deserve it, but yet you are called by God to do it. By being merciful and giving and loving to people, not only where you are, but overseas or wherever God gives you the opportunity to do that. By proclaiming that God loves that person enough to die for them. When we do that, we are being faithful and obedient. And to me, that proves that the Holy Spirit is within us. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. That means once we are saved, we do by our new nature what God wants us to do. And part of that is telling others about Him. And when we do that, We may not be rewarded here. In fact, people may shut us down and people may cause problems and people may do all kinds of things. But there is laid up for us a crown in heaven, the crown of life that we have through Jesus Christ. And if there be a time where your stand is met with physical earthly death, you receive a crown of martyrdom. And there are other blessings that we receive. But these folks cannot be pitied because they had every opportunity to know the truth, believe the truth, act the truth, and they refused for whatever reason. What is it that's holding you back? What is it that's holding people that are watching by Facebook? What is it that is holding you back? Folks, I don't know when all these things are going to begin. I am a fool if I get up here and say it's going to happen on 2nd of January, 2034. No man knows the date and the hour. But we know it's closer than it was yesterday. And we know that individually we are closer to the graveyard or to the shelf than we were 10 minutes ago. When God gives you the opportunity, use it. Be like that angel that is proclaiming the gospel. Give every man a defense of the faith that you have and for the hope that is within you. And don't worry about what you're going to say. Just pray God gives you the opportunity. And when you realize that, ask for Him the words to say and He will give it to you. Everything that needs to be said. Plant the seed. That's all that's required of you. And we know that we have rocky ground. We have ground that the weeds grow up. And we have the ground where the birds immediately come and take the place. That's actually the first one. And then we have the ground that's the fertile soil. As long as you're obedient, you have done what God has asked you to do. And He will cause the increase. But once we reach this time, it's too late. In fact, next week, we're going to meet a personification of the wickedness of this world. We're going to meet, as the King James calls her, the great whore, the great prostitute, that sits astride the beast. And her name is Babylon the Great. Of course, Babylon here again is a symbol of the complete rejection of God and the complete acceptance of man. As we saw Nebuchadnezzar in the actual kingdom of Babylon, he wanted the world to worship him in his image. That's what's happening. That's why it's a spiritual Babylon. And they persecuted the people of God. And the new Babylon is going to persecute the people of God. So we're going to meet her. And she is going to make war with the Lamb of God. Now, like I said, this is all inner. We've already seen the fighting of this war. We're just going to see it once again as He describes what we're going to be fighting. So folks, hang on. Hang on. The truth that God gives us is an amazing. In fact, I'll close with this, and we're talking about what's next week. There are several European coins even now that has a symbol of the woman riding the beast. Now, they will say that it's a symbol of Greek mythology, Europa riding the bull that is Zeus. No, that's not a bull on that corn. I know what a bull looks like. I actually fooled a guy into trying to milk a bull once. Fellow in the Navy with me, he came home with me. We drove up from Orlando Naval Training Center and spent the weekend. And he was from Michigan City, boy. And my grandpa had some dairy cows. And I said, hey, you want to milk a cow? Sure. I put him in the stall with the bull. He didn't speak to me all the way back to Florida. Didn't hurt him, just kicked the stall, you know. But anyway, farm boys can do that kind of thing. Amen? Amen. But anyway, all seriousness, brothers and sisters. The world is prepared for this to occur. Now, we know we still got a few things to go. We know the temple's got to be built and all that stuff. And that's coming. But while we have this time on earth, while we have this opportunity to not only preach the gospel, but to live the gospel in the way that God has called us, let us take every opportunity to do such. And then we will be found faithful and obedient before our God and our Savior. Praise Team. Down those stairs, I have to be like Gilligan's Island. Do you know what I'm talking about? I have to walk a little gingerly. Get it? I'm full of it today, ain't I? But before we sing our final hymn, I just want to offer one more time. If God's speaking to your heart, act on it. Don't wait. No one is promised tomorrow. No one is promised tomorrow. But everybody that is alive right now is promised that if you turn to God in faith, you shall be saved. If you believe what the Bible says. Let's stand.